Let's open our Bibles to John chapter 1, please. The Gospel of John chapter 1. And I'm going to begin kind of like a two-week series leading up to Christmas. And I want to entitle it The Seed of the Woman. The Seed of the Woman. Now, that'll make sense as we begin to kind of unravel the meaning of that. Those words are taken directly from the book of Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Now, how many of y'all have ever been on in a car riding with someone, or you were in the passenger seat and someone was driving, and they were driving in a place you've never been at, and you normally turn to the driver and said, "I'm glad you're driving. I'm glad you know where you're driving because I don't know where I'm at." Kelly does that to me all the time, right, babe? So that happens a lot, and so I want to begin this message in that same vein. You're going to say, "What does this have to do with Christmas?" Okay, but if you'll be patient with me, we'll eventually work back into the scripture, and you'll see it when I'm done. Okay, is that fair enough? Because I don't want you to tune me out at the beginning saying, "Well, where's he going with this? This is not Christmas." And I've had people in my time of ministry get offended because they didn't think that the message was Christmassy enough. So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All right? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. I like that last line, and the Word was God. Now, here's a little tidbit for you where it says the Word was with God. In the Greek language, it provides a very intimate face-to-face union. The Word was with God, face-to-face union. Who is the Word spoken of here in John chapter 1, verse 1? Jesus. Okay, and he says Jesus was with God in a face-to-face. And then he goes on to say, Jesus is God. Right? Go with me to verse 14. Verse 14. And the Word, Jesus, became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I love that verse because, you know, this eternal deity that is in a relationship, face-to-face, intimate relationship with God, the Father, became flesh. And this is the time of the season that we celebrate his birth, is it not? I mean, everything that we do is geared toward decorating, toward celebrating the birth of our Savior. Now, go with me to John chapter 2, verse 1. This is where we're going to be looking at and saying, "I'm glad you're driving because I don't know where I'm at." On the third day, chapter 2, verse 1. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding, and when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." Jesus said to her, notice his word, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." Notice how Jesus addresses his mother. "Woman." Now, in our culture, that sounds like a very disrespectful address towards one's mother, right? "Woman." Why did Jesus call his mother woman? Go with me to John 19. We're in John. John 19. Jesus is hanging on the cross. John 19, verse 26. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, what?
Woman,
behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. Why is Jesus calling Mary, his mother, woman? Well, you're going to find out that that is a very prophetic designation why Jesus called his mother woman. So go with me to the very beginning of your Bible, Genesis chapter 3, please. Well, it's not terribly beginning. We'll get there. Some of you are thinking, where's he going with this? How many of you who know me very well enough will know that I'll tie it in well? It'll make sense. This is the chapter that is famously known for the fall of humankind. Okay? The fall of mankind. And Adam and Eve disobeyed. And I love Adam's response. How many of you know that Adam and Eve were real people? They were not just theological figures. They were real people. And when God said, you know, to Adam, he said, when they were hiding, he said, Adam, where are you? Why didn't he say, Adam and Eve, where are you? Who was supposed to give account for both of them? The woman?
Adam.
The man is the spiritual head of the house, or should be. Gosh, I feel like I'm just, my popularity is just going down the tubes this morning. The sugar lecture, the if you're not giving to God, wow, and I'm just shooting myself in the foot by saying men are the spiritual leaders of their household, right?
Amen.
He didn't call for Eve. Come on, ladies. Did he call, did he say, Eve, where are you?
No.
He said, Adam, where are you? What have you done for you to know that you are naked? And Adam comes up and he says, a great moment for him to fess up, own it, and say the Lord, tell the Lord, I'm sorry, it was my fault. He said, no, the woman you gave me, the woman you gave me, she made me eat and I did eat. So God, it's her fault and it's your fault. Right? It's her fault, she made me eat it, and it's your fault, God, because you gave her to me. Ladies, can I bring out the point here? How many of y'all know that in millennia, things haven't changed much to this day? I can expect no Christmas card from the men. The ladies will be baking me stuff. No sugar, please. But notice what happened. The man did not fess up, so God goes to the woman. The woman fesses up. She steps up and she said, yes, I ate it. The serpent deceived me. I took a bite and I gave some to my husband. She stood up. Now, can I make a point? I'm going to make a point either way. Because, listen, church family, I love you and I know you love me and I know you want me to be this way. How many of y'all know you want me to be biblically correct instead of trying to win a popularity contest?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Is it? That's why to this day, women are more spiritual, generally speaking, than men are. I'll leave it at that. The seed of the woman. Let's read on. So let's begin with verse 13, Genesis 3:13. And the Lord God said to the woman, what is it that you have done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. So the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, now God is speaking to the, who is the serpent here?
Satan.
The devil, Satan, the ancient serpent. Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all the cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I, notice verse 15, and I will put enmity. What does enmity mean? You will be at odds with. Who's putting enmity? God is putting enmity. Notice, between you, the serpent, and the woman. Historically, has there been oppression of women?
Yes.
Right? Now, calm down. I'm not a woman's liber. I think women are equal with men. Let me quote you the scripture, gentlemen. Galatians chapter 3 says that neither male nor female, there's no distinction between a male and a female in Christ.
That's right.
I don't know why, but I feel like I'm stepping into stuff I didn't plan on stepping into. So let's get out of here. Let's pull the truth. Let's pull the troops. Okay. So, the enmity between the serpent and the woman that goes on to this very day. Think of the sex trafficking. Who do you think is behind the sex trafficking?
Mm-hmm.
abusing, taking advantage of little girls, robbing them of their innocence, robbing them of their purity. The enemy's behind that. There's enmity between the serpent, the devil, and the woman. Notice. And between your seed, Satan, and her seed. My Bible reads this way, between your seed and her seed, but her seed, the word seed after her, is capitalized.
Yep.
Is yours capitalized?
Mm-hmm.
Anybody else's? Is it capitalized? Why is that letter capitalized, or why is that word capitalized, the letter S in that word, rather than your seed, Satan, lowercase s? Why? Listen carefully, church family, because in the Bible, there is no such mention of the seed of a woman. It's always the seed of a man. Galatians 3, the seed of Abraham. Men, which gender possesses the seed?
Amen.
Huh? The man does. Right? You know what the word seed in the Greek language is when you find it in the New Testament? It's a Greek word sperma. Guess what word we get from the word sperma? Sperm. So let me ask you, what gender possesses the seed? The man possesses the seed. Then why would he talk here about a seed of the woman, and that word, the letter S in that word is capitalized by the translators? Why?
Talking about Jesus.
Talking about Jesus. It's talking about, listen carefully to your family, the birth of a person that no man had any hand in, had no part in the conception of the woman's birth of this person. What's that talking about? A virgin birth, isn't it? Have y'all ever wondered, have y'all stopped to wonder why God wanted Jesus to be born of a virgin?
Because she's pure.
Because she's pure. Because sinful man's sperm has been tainted by sin. Right?
Amen, yeah.
Jesus could not be born from a man's sperm.
Right.
Are light bulbs going on? Mm-hmm. He had to be pure. He had to be born of a virgin. So the Lord called Mary. Whoa, what an honor, huh?
Amen.
I think she has a special place in heaven. I don't think we Catholics had it all that wrong. I said we because I was raised one. Right? Mm-hmm. I still miss the sign of the cross. Don't edit that out. Anyway. Okay, so notice. Between your seed and her seed, notice, he... So what gender is the seed of the woman?
Male.
He shall bruise your head, Satan. Do you want to know what it reads? How it reads in the Hebrew? He will deal you a death blow. I love that. You know what I picture? I'm a movie buff, so I picture Clint Eastwood saying,
"Go ahead, and make my day."
Go ahead, make my day. Woo! Sends chills down my spine. Woo! He shall deal you a death blow. Notice the next phrase. You shall bruise his heel. What part, where does the heel belong to? Isn't it a part of the body? What that's talking about there, it's a prophetic declaration of the persecution the body of Christ would receive on account of the seed of the woman. The devil will strike at your heel. And over the years, church family, even before there was a Church of Jesus Christ, even before Jesus showed up on the scene, there has always been persecution toward a righteous lineage. God wanted to establish a holy lineage where he could send Jesus to be born through, because Jesus was not going to be born through a gosh awful, ungodly, wicked lineage, right? So he made a pact with man and he said, look, if you follow me, if you live for me upright, obey my commandments, I will bless you. And it was through that seed, that lineage, lineage of Abraham, right? And then you bust out in the tribes and you have the tribe of Judah through that tribe. Jesus was going to be born. The seed of the woman was going to be born. So what have we discovered so far? That why did Jesus call Mary woman? Because he was saying prophetically, you are the woman that bear or bore the seed.
Amen.
Huh? No man had a part in that. No man could have a part in that. And then he says, God says, you know, Satan, I'm going to tell you right now, this man is going to deal you a death blow. Even though you strike at his heel, he will deal you a death blow. All right?
Yep.
Now, who all is there listening to this prophetic declaration? There's Adam, right? There's Eve. Eve's listening to this, right? And then there's the Satan. There's Satan. Actually, I say the Satan because that's the way it's translated in the Hebrew. Ha, Satan. In Hebrew, ha, Satan. It's the Satan. Satan means adversary. The adversary in the Old Testament. Okay? So far, so good, everybody? You hanging? I got your attention? Now, okay, I'm going to make a statement and then I'm going to back it up. Eve thought that her firstborn child was the seed of the woman. How many of you want to know that? How many of you want to see that scripturally? I don't make this up. Okay, go with me to chapter 4, verse 1. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. Adam knew Eve. Eve conceived and bore whom? Cain. Right? No. So how do I gather? How can I conclude based off of this verse that Eve understood her firstborn to be the seed of the woman? Though obviously it's not a virgin birth. Look at the Hebrew. Okay? Very important. The word from in that verse where Eve said, I have gotten a man from the Lord is misinterpreted. It is mistranslated. It is not the word from. It is the Hebrew word et. Let's all say it, et. It's like saying E-T together. Et. Phone home. Et. Et is always translated in the Old Testament by the word by. So let's read that verse again with that word in mind. Eve said, I have gotten a man, even the Lord. I have gotten a man, comma, even the Lord. Genesis 1:1. Let me quote Genesis 1:1 to you. In the Hebrew, Bereshit bara Elohim et hasamayim wa et haaretz. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created even the heavens, even the earth. So why is that same Hebrew word, which is found in Genesis 4:1, why did the translators translate it from instead of even? Because if you translate et from, then Genesis 1:1 should read, in the beginning God created from the heavens and from the earth. Does that make sense? God didn't create from anything. He created everything from nothing. So the word even is a better translation. In the beginning, God created even the heavens, even the earth. So Genesis 4:1 should read like this. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain and said, I have gotten a man, even the Lord. So what's Eve thinking? She's thinking, ah, I'm bearing this seed of the woman, though she didn't have her facts straight. And maybe, I know ladies, I've been puffing you up. I'm going to bring you down a little bit. Eve didn't have all the facts straight when the serpent tempted her. Well, how's that, Pastor Joe? Are you going to show me up again? Yeah. Remember what Eve told the serpent? The Lord God told us not to eat from it, neither should we touch it. There is no account in Genesis 2 of the Lord telling Eve, don't even touch the fruit. There's no... Come on, somebody. Man, how many of y'all know that our ladies sometimes get it wrong? I said, sometimes, babe. Not all the time. See, you men, I give you an opportunity.
Amen. Not
it's too late now.
We know better.
We know better, yeah.
We know where's the pants in the family.
I said, sometimes. Let me rephrase. A very, very small percentage of the time. Let's move on. So notice, Eve thinks that the man she's bearing is the Lord. Mm-hmm. Even the Lord. Even the Lord. Okay, so let's play it out. What happens? Cain is born. Cain is like a farmer, vegetable farmer. And then comes Abel. And Abel loves God. And Abel serves God. And Abel gives God a blood sacrifice. And if you know anything about the Bible, how many of y'all know that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins?
That's right. Amen.
So God found Abel's sacrifice pleasing to him, but God rejected the bloodless sacrifice or bloodless offering from Cain. So what happened to Cain? What did Cain do?
He got mad,
and what did he try to do? Well, he took his brother out in the field, and he did what to him?
Killed him.
He killed his brother. Why? Because he was not the one favored. His offering was not acceptable to the Lord. Abel's was. Interesting. Doesn't that play out, that part of the prophecy where God told the serpent, you will strike at his heel? Already, the first guy to begin a righteous lineage is dead. So who motivated Cain to kill Abel? The serpent did. Go with me to 1 John. So far, so good, guys?
Yeah.
Making sense? You like it?
Yeah.
Let me ask that again. You like it?
Yeah.
Thank you. Simple question. Sometimes I feel like I've got to pull teeth, baby.
Well, we're trying to turn pages.
1 John chapter 3. And let's look at verse 11. 1 John 3, 11. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as who? Cain, who was of whom? Who's the wicked one? Satan. Isn't the wicked one the serpent? So Cain was of the wicked one, and Cain did what? Murdered his brother. So who inspired Cain to murder his brother? Satan, the wicked one. Why? Because they're already at odds. Good is at odds with evil. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brothers were righteous. Okay, we're going to leave it off here. I've got other stuff to share along these same lines. Come back next week. Same time, same channel. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love for us. Lord, we love your word. We thank you for the insights in your word. Thank you for revealing so much to us, Lord. Making the plan of salvation known to us. Lord, you've always had a plan, and you always have a plan in our lives. You never leave yourself without a recourse or a course to take. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. Minister to your people. Minister health and healing in Jesus' name. Amen.